Okay, we are doing the story of the birth of Shmuel, which is done, which is read on Rosh Hashanah. Just going to mute everybody, so unmute yourself if you have an important question. But otherwise, people will hear better if it's muted. So now, we're doing the birth of Shmuel. And of course, we have Chanah, who first of all was remembered by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. It was on Rosh Hashanah that she became pregnant with Shmuel. And second is that we have the idea of Hashem being, you know, the prayer, many laws of prayer, which we learned from Chanah, which this is what we discussed last week. Now I'm going to start this week with a medrash called Psikta Rabosi. It's number Mem Gimel, number 43. And he gives a whole lot of explanations on the concept of Shmuel's mother Chanah and her prayer. Now, there is a verse in Tehillim which says, Meishivi Akeres Habayis, he makes me the main one of the house. Eim Habonim Smecha, the mother of the children is happy. Now, this is a pasuk which is in from Tehillim, and every time we say Hallel, it's in Tehillim 1:13, and every single time we say Hallel, we say this. Every time we say Hallel, we say this pasuk in Tehillim 1:13. Now, on Meishivi Akeres Habay, actually, this pasuk Meishivi Akeres Habay is a pasuk I know well. There is a custom which is encouraged by the Rebbe, that at the end of the Amidah, we say a verse that begins, the first word of the verse begins with the first letter of your name and the last letter of the verse with the last letter of your name. My wife, whose name is Minna, beginning with a mem and ending with a hey, so she uses the pasuk, which she says three times a day at the end of the Amidah. But anyway, getting back to the Medrash Psikta Rabosi, the Medrash says that Meishivi Akeres Habayis refers to Chanah. Because it says, now Akeres can mean the main one of the house, and Akeres can also mean the barren one, from the word Akora. So Chanah was barren for many years. The Ksiv, as it says, Vayehina Pnina Yelodim Pnina. We mentioned last week that when Chanah didn't have children for many years, Elkanah married a second wife, Penina. Penina had children one after another. She ended up with 10 children. Penina has children, and Chanah has no children. So here she was the barren one in the house. And we're now explaining the verse, Akeres Habayis is the barren one. And then, Eima Bonim Smecha. Hashem then made her happy and rejoiced because she had children. On the words Eim Abonim Smecha, he brings that we have a verse in the story of Chanah, Ki Pakad Hashem es Chanah, Hashem remembered Chanah, Vatar, she became pregnant, Vatela, then she gave birth, Shloisha Bonim Ushtei Bonis, three sons and two daughters. And before Chanah had this, when she was barren for many, many years, Amra loy Chanah, Chanah said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, or actually, this is actually a correction. After she says, Ma olai la'aseis, what am I supposed to do now that my prayers have been answered? And after so many years of being barren, I have these children. My responsibility is loy mar lecha shireis v'tish zmireis, to give song and praise to Hashem. Hallelujah, to praise God. And that's why we have, at the end of the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we have the famous Tefillas Chanah. There are two prayers of Chanah. There's the prayer that Chanah said, begging for children, and then we have the Shiras Chanah, thanking God for the children, where she says, Olatz libi b'Hashem, Roma karni b'Hashem, that my heart is rejoicing with Hashem. So now, Dover Acher, another explanation. This is still from that same Medrash, Psikta Rabosi. And the Medrash says we have a pasuk, which we just quoted, Ki Pakad Hashem es Chanah. Now, normally we translate that pasuk that Hashem remembered Chanah. That's the usual way that we translate that pasuk. So the Medrash says, Hashem refines the silver and puts the gold in the fire. Generally, a goldsmith, a silversmith, how does he prepare the gold and silver to various shapes? Puts them through the fire. And v'ish k'lefim ha'halloi, and a person according to his praise. Ma'halloi, from the word hallel. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Mahu mitzaref la'kesef. What does it mean that Hashem refines the silver, v'kur l'zov, and they have the fire, the oven where you refine gold? What is the significance of the Medrash is connecting refining gold and silver to the prayer of Hannah? And look, Hashem shat soyref hazeh, just like this goldsmith or silversmith, machnes is a kesef le'ish. What does a silversmith and a goldsmith do? He puts the silver and the gold into the fire, ves hazav l'kur, and the gold into a kur, which is even a hotter fire. Veinu masham b'hem. It's very important, the goldsmith or the silversmith, that he doesn't keep the gold or the silver in the fire too long. It has to be one of the things of being a blacksmith, a goldsmith, a silversmith, is to know how long to keep the metal in the fire. So the same thing is Hashem refines people. Hashem gives people trials and tribulations, but everything is measured accordingly. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzoyref Es Kol HaTzadikim. Hashem refines the tzadikim. Tzadikim often go through various difficulties, which helps refine them. As we have Chana, the mother of Shmuel, went through tremendous difficulties. Hashem refines every tzadik, kol echad me'echad me'hem l'fi kavodei, each one according to his honor, according to what's suitable for him. And this is the meaning, ki pakad Hashem es Chana, that Hashem remembered Chana. Hashem checked out exactly what is the suitable test and trials and tribulations to give Chana so she is able to grow from it. That is the meaning. This connects to the verse that Hashem refines silver and gold. What is the meaning of Ish Lefi Mahalalai, each person according to his praise? So the Medrash goes on to say, Hashem refines a tzaddik according to his actions, according to this specific tzaddik. What's good for one tzaddik is not good for the other. And so you find by Sarah, the wife of Avram Avinu, we find Tzirfa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esrim V'chomei Shanim. Hashem tested her, gave her difficulty for 25 years. Sarah was 65 years old when she arrived in Israel. She had been married with Avram many years before, but we start counting again. When they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Avram was 75 and Sarah was 65. K'mei Shekasev, as it says, that Avram was 75 when they left Haran, and Sarah at that time was 65, because Avram was Sarah's senior by 10 years. And Sarah finally gave birth to Yitzhak at age 90 when Avram was 100 years. As we have a pasuk, Halavan Ma'ashana, at 100 years will he give birth? Vim Sarah Habas Tishim Shana Tele. Is Sarah going to give birth at age 90? So what do we see? Hashem gave Sarah a 25-year test of being barren, which this refined her and brought her to a much higher level. And again, Tzirfa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lefi Koicha. Hashem refined her according to her strength, tests and tribulations which were suitable for her. And then we have Rivka, the wife of Yitzchak.
Could you move your camera a bit so we can see your whole face?
Is it better now?
Yes.
Thank you. That's thank your job you. Officially. Alexei, thank you. And you do your good job on this. Rivka also, Hashem refined her for 20 years. How do we know this? Because it says Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav was born. So we see again, Hashem refined her and tested her and made her be barren for 20 years. And similarly, Hannah, the birth of Shmuel Hanavi, who we learn about on Rosh Hashanah, we read about her. Also, Hashem refined her and tested her according to her ability. How long did Hashem test and refine Hannah? According to this Medrash, it was 19 years. Why 19 years? Because first, Elkanah and Hannah were married 10 years, Hannah not having any children. Then after 10 years, Hannah suggested that Elkanah marry another woman. and he married Penina. Penina had 10 children, one after the other. Penina had 10 children, one after the other. Where do you see that Penina has 10 children? Because you find that Elkanah says to Chana, that I am better than the 10 children, which refers to the 10 children of Penina. And we understand that it must have been at least 9 years, because you have to give 8 years for the pregnancy and 1 year extra for the pregnancy of Shmuel, and each pregnancy takes time. So it must be 19 years they were married, and then Hashem remembered Chana, because this is what Chana was able to take. So far, this is another explanation of Hashem Pakad, that Hashem remembered Chana. Hashem check what is suitable for Chana, what test and what trials and tribulations is suitable for Sarah, for Rivka, for Chana, and for every other individual. Now we have Dovar Acher, a third explanation, in the same Medrash Psikta Rabbos. Ki Pakad Hashem is Chana, Hashem remembered Chana. Rab Acha, in the name of Rab Shim ben Lakish, says, Hashem said, Baal Pikdoine Saniya, Pikdoine is when you give somebody a deposit, I give you something to guard, like a shamer, to guard on my behalf. So Hashem says, I guard things on people's behalf. Anything that a person is mafkidetsi, anything that a person gives me to hold, ani noisin loy, you give something to Hashem, and God will give it back to you at the right time. The Medrash goes on to say, Lema hadover daima, what is this compared to? Lechot shavhoya baal pikdoinis. There was somebody who would have, like a bank. We have the bank, Commonwealth ANZ. People have pikdoinis. People put their money in the bank, and you can take your money out whenever you want. And that's called a pikdoin in Israel today. They call it a pikdoin that you put in the bank. V'hoyo habriyos mafkidos etzoy, and people would make deposits there. Now, there are deposits which you put into an account, and there's a deposit which you can also have a safety deposit box, where you don't have to put money, you could put anything in. So two people came to make a deposit. One person deposited gold, and his safe deposit box was filled with gold, and an bo'echad v'hifkid koitzim. The other one came, and he also had a safety deposit box. But while Mr. A put gold in his box, Mr. B put thorns. They came to take whatever they got. They come to the bank to collect. So what does everybody get? The one who gave silver, he gets silver back. The one who gave thorns, he gets thorns back. Similarly, Hashem says, I am like a banker. I have safe deposit box. Whatever whatever you give me, I'll give you in return. I hold your deposit, Hashem, God says. So you find, Avraham hifkid etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu nefashos. Avraham Avinu gave Hashem lives of people. It says that Avraham, when he left Haran to go to Israel, he took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, ves hanefesh asher osu b'Haran, and the souls they made in Haran. Now, what does it mean, the souls they made in Haran? Did Avraham and Sarah create human beings? Obviously not. He says, v'chi Avraham osu nefashos. Did Avraham and Sarah create human beings? Nebuchadnezzar ben Pedah says, if all the creatures of the world will try to create even one mosquito, we're not able to. So what does it mean as hanefesh asher asu b'charan? Do Avraham and Sarah create people? So what is as hanefesh? What it means is, Avraham migayer anoshim, v'sarah migayeres anoshim. Avraham brought the men closer to God, and Sarah brought the women closer to God. And that is what it says. There's a pasuk in Kehelet. I saw the Rishoyim Kvurim, wicked people who were, their wickedness was buried. Avraham and Sarah would take human beings that were very far from God, and slowly but surely they would bring them under the wings of the Shechina, under connecting to God. And Avraham and Sarah connected hundreds and hundreds of people to God. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Avraham and Sarah, Pikadetem etzli nefashos, you gave me a deposit of many, many souls. You brought many, many human beings to connect to God. Ani poirei alochem, I will pay you Because Avram and Sarah brought many human beings close to God, so Hashem remembers Sarah, and Sarah gives birth to Avram. Vatein and Sarah Avram, Bein Liskunav, and from that son, Yitzchak, which Avram and Sarah had at their old age, Avram was 100, and Yitzchak was 90, the whole Jewish people of millions and millions of Jews came from this one child that Avram and Sarah had in their old age. Because Avram and Sarah gave souls, human beings, connecting to God, therefore Hashem blessed them as the father and mother of the whole Jewish nation. Now we have, the on the other extreme, we have Amalek, who came and gave God a security, a deposit. He gave kitzim, he gave thorns. It says Amalek came and fought with the Jewish people and defeated him. It says, Asher koach korach abadera, he cooled you off. And vayizani b'chol kolanech ha-shalem, he made the weakened people get weaker, fall off the get lost. So Hashem says, you Amalek, you gave me kitzim. What did you give me? You gave me thorns. You gave me thorns, I'll give you back thorns. And so it says, so Hashem says, hokadati asher asa Amalek liYisrael. I remember, I have a pikodin. I have Amalek, you made a deposit. What was your deposit? You went to fight innocent Jews. You went to persecute Jews. So now I gave a mitzvah, va'ato, and now Hashem tells to show through Shmuel HaNovi, lech v'kiso es Amalek. Go and strike Amalek. So what do we have? We have Avraham and Sarah brought people, connecting people to God, and Amalek works his hardest to get people further from God and to also kill people. And therefore, with Avraham and Sarah, Hashem gives them an amazing Jewish nation. And with Amalek, Hashem gives them a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. Now we're going to go back to Chana. Chana gave God souls. How do you know this? He says, it says concerning Chana's husband, Elkanah, Vayehi ish minor amasayim tsayfim. There was a man from a place called Ramasayim Tzayfim. His name was Elkanah ben Yerecham ben Eliyahu ben Toichu. And the word Toichu, which is spelled Tof, Ches, Vav, if you take the Aleph base of Atbash, Atbash is where you take an Aleph and change it for a Tof, and a Tof changes for an Aleph. The second letter of the Aleph base, a base changes for a Shin, and a Shin changes for a base. A Gimel, third letter, changes for an Eish, and an Eish change. So if you take Toichu in the letters of Atbash, it becomes Asaf. He gathers. And Elkanah gathered people, as we learned last week, that Elkanah had a tremendous thing. We learned last week that Elkanah traveled every year an extra trip to Shiloh, where the Mishkan was, and he gathered 5 families, 10 families, till he got most of the Jewish people following him on his way to Shiloh. So Elkanah gathered people. Elkanah and Chana were involved in gathering and bringing people closer to Hashem. And that is why Hashem gave Chana the blessing that first of all, she will be the mother of Shmuel HaNavi. And second of all, from this family, from Shmuel HaNavi, eventually came an amazing family. Shmuel has a grandson. Shmuel has a son, Yoel, who was a prophet, and a grandson, Haman Bar Yoel. And Haman Bar Yoel has 14 sons who were all, every one of them were prophets, were tzaddikim, and they were the heads of 14 different families of Levim. So Hashem blessed Chana with the most amazing family because she gathered Jewish people and connected them to Hashem. Hashem gathered many Jewish people to be her descendants. Now, then we have Rabbi Yoina brings in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that after we speak, we start with Elkanah, and we say amazing good things about Elkanah. And then we say that he has 2 wives. V'loi shtei noshim, Elkanah had 2 wives, Chana and Penina. Why did Elkanah marry 2 wives? Because by Yehila Penina Yeladim, because Penina had children. U'lechana ein Yeladim, Chana had no children. When Chana saw that she didn't give birth to children, she says to Elkanah, marry another woman, I'll bring a rival into my house, and Hashem will see that I brought a rival, and in the merit of bringing a rival to my house, which no woman appreciates when her husband marries a second wife, and that merit Hashem will bless me with children. So Hashem tells Chana, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha, by your life, at Chana hifkadot etzli nefosh, you gave me souls because you allowed and encouraged your husband, Elkanah, to marry another woman, and you caused 10 more children to be born to your husband. And because of this, I will pay you, as we have, that Hashem took on this Chana. Chana gave Hashem a pikadon of many, many souls. First of all the people she brought closer to Yiddishkeit, and second is that she encouraged her husband, Elkanah, to marry Penina and bring 10 more sons into the world. And because of this, Chana merited an amazing family. Now, we're going on with the same medrash from the Psikta. Vatar, Vatelet, Shloisha Bonim, Ushtei Bonis. It says Chana had three sons and two daughters. Three sons and two daughters. How many children does she have? Three plus two equals five. Hare Chamisha. But Vanu Maitzim, we find Sha'amra Bishirasa. When Chana says Shira, in chapter 2, Chana sings the praise to Hashem. She says that Akara Yolda Shiva, the barren woman, had seven children. So what's going on here? Here it says Chana had three sons and two daughters. Three plus two equals five. But then Chana praises Hashem that the barren woman had seven children. Shenemar, as it says, Sveim Balechem Niskoru. What does it mean? Those who were filled and satisfied with bread had to hire themselves out to get some bread. Man Niskoru. So he says, Nishtakru, they were had plenty of abundance. And the Avim Chodelum in Ravinam, the people who had been hungry had no longer any hunger. And Akara Yolda Shiva, till the Akara, the barren woman, has seven children. That's Chana. And Rabbas Bonim Umlala, the one who had many children, Umlala, that's Penina, who lost most of her children. Now, the question is, if Chana has only five children, why do we say she has seven children? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah and the Ravnin all answer this question. Rabbi Yehuda says Chana has five children. So why do we say seven? Because one of her sons, her oldest son Shmuel, is equal to Moshe and Aaron. As we say every Friday night in our davening, we say Moshe v'Aaron b'chayanav u'Shmuel b'kayde Shmuel. Moshe Aaron is kayanim, and Shmuel is equal to them in calling Hashem's name. And it continues, Kayrim el Hashem behu yaneh. Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel always call on Hashem. Hashem always answers them. So when we say Chana has seven children, it's five biological children. And then one of her children, which is Shmuel, is equal to Moshe and Aaron, who are two more. And that is what it means, seven. Reb Nechemiah says she had five children. But not only did she have five children, Shmuel's two older grandchildren, she saw Shnei Bonav Shmuel. She met Shmuel's two sons, and therefore she ended up with seven children. She had five biological children and two grandsons who she knew as well. As it says, that the oldest son of Shmuel was Yael, and the second son was Aviah. And Bnei Bonim, grandchildren are like children. And that's why it says, Akara Yolda Shiva, the barren woman had seven children, five biological children of her own, and two more. V'ravninin omrin chamisha yolda. The Rabbanan say that she had five children. But what does it say in the pasuk that Chana, Elkanah made korbanis, and he gave to Penina portions, and to Chana, and to all her sons and all her daughters, and Chana gets a double portion? What does this mean? First of all, what does it mean? Chana got mona achas poim. It means b'sever ponim yafis. Elkanah had sever ponim yafis, very nice, fine face. He gave her with a great enthusiasm. Elkanah was especially enthusiastic at the portion of the carbon that he gave to Chana, because Chana was his first wife, and Chana was also tzadeket. Dover acher, another explanation, apayim keneged kol aponim. Equal to the whole face, which means the whole, again, the enthusiasm with which Elkanah is giving the portion of the carbon to Chana. Dover acher, another explanation, ayofesh abayim, he gave Chana the nicest portion. Another explanation, apoyim, he gave her double. Why did he give her double? Because he loved Chana, and Hashem had closed her womb. Now, Penina, who was the other wife with 10 children, was constantly trying to irritate Chana. V'haysa Penina mach eses haysa. Penina would do her best to see what she could do to get Chana angry. Pnina was on a campaign to see what can I do to irritate and upset and get Chana angry. And Chana, as Pnina tormented her, Chana would cry and she wouldn't eat. As it says, this would happen every single year when they went up to Shiloh. And at that time, Pnina was on a major campaign every time they went to Shiloh. What can I do to upset Chana? Kain tachi sena. So Pnina would try to anger her, to upset her. And she cried and she didn't eat. We're soon going to see that Pnina actually did it because she thought if Chana would daven, if Chana would be upset enough, she would daven for children very strongly, and Hashem would answer her prayers. Now, interesting to note that even though it says that Pnina meant well, nevertheless, she got terrible punishments for this. Because in the end of the day, with, you know, they say the road to H is paved with best intentions. You know, very good. Pnina had good intentions, but she tormented Chana. Now we have a pasuk. Vayomer lo Elkanah isha lama sifki. Elkanah, her husband, says, why do you cry? And Elkanah says, Sara was barren more years than you. Did she sit and cry all day? And why don't you eat? Rivka was barren for many years. Did she not eat? And why do you feel bad? Rachel, who's the third of the mothers, she was also barren for years. And was she sitting in solitude amongst herself? And then Elkanah goes on to say, my relationship with you, my connection with you is worth more than 10 children. Now the 10 children, first we discussed that it meant the 10 children of Pnina. And now we have the Medrash brings that it's the 10 generations from Peretz until David HaMelech. That yes, there is from the tribe of Yehuda 10 generations leading right up to David HaMelech, Peretz HaMelech, that's in Kulam, all 10 generations. I saw that there's 10 generations in total. The 10 generations are number 1, Peretz, number 2, Chetzrein, 3, Yisroam, 4, Aminadab, 5 is Nachshon, 6, Solomon, 7, Boaz, 8, Oved, 7, 9, Yishai, 10, David. So he says, we have these 10 great tzaddikim leading on to David HaMelech. And my relationship with you has value more than these 10 tzaddikim. And there's a tremendous thing because from Elkanah and Chana came Shmuel HaNavi, who in some ways is greater than all these 10 generations. Now we have a third explanation, that I am better for you than 10 children, refers to the 10 children of Pnina. Now, what happened here? Every time Hashem remembered Chana and Chana would give birth to a son, Pnina would bury two of her children. As Chana had 4 children, Pnina lost 8 of her 10 children, and Chana become pregnant the 5th time. And Pnina's afraid that she's about to lose the last 2 children that she has. So what does Pnina do? Ma osta Pnina holcho ubiksha min Chana. She came begging Chana, and she says, bivakosha mima, Chana, my co-wife, my rival, I beg of you, nenesimo, I give in. You were right and I was wrong. I've done terrible things by persecuting you. Yoidas ani shechotosimo. I know I sinned to you. I know I lost 8 children because of the way I treated you. I'm sure of this. Elevater li, please forgive me. I'm down to 2 children. That's all I have left. Please, vater li, please forgive me, begs Pnina, kidei sheyichu shnei bonai shenishtayru li, so that the 2 children that I have left should live. But I saw Hashoah at that time, nispalela chana lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. Chana comes to Hashem and she starts davening to Hashem and she says, Hashem, please help my rival Pnina. Let her 2 last 2 children survive. Vater lo es shnei bonel. Leave her these 2 children, sheyichu, they should live. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Chayecha, by your life, I could swear, shehayu ruim lama. The plan was these last 2 children of Pnina should have died. Pnina should have lost all her children for tormenting Chana. But because Hayoshin is palalt aleim, because you davened for them, and you, Chana, begged they should live, Lishimcha ani kayri yaisam, says Hashem, I'm going to call them Chana's children. Chana has 5 biological children, and another two who were born, two of Penina's children, who only remained alive in Chana's merit. And that's why it says, Adakara Yolda Shiva, that two of Penina's children are considered Chana's children. So Chana now has seven children. Chana has five biological children of her own, and the two children of Penina that only remained alive because of Chana's davening, because of Chana's prayers. Going on with this medrash, Dover Acher, another pshat, Ki pakad Hashem es Chana. What does it say earlier? Earlier we had that Penina was upsetting, doing her best, Veki asata sarasa gam kas. Her rival, Penina, was getting Chana angry once and again. Penina was angering Chana, kas, say kas, anger in anger. Ma hoisa oisa. What was Penina doing? How was she trying to get Chana upset? So Rav Nachman Bar Abba says, Penina would get up in the morning and she would tell Chana, aren't you going to wash your kids' face? They should go to school. Chana, wake up. Get your kids ready for school. Poor Chana has no kids and Penina's tormenting her. Go get the kids ready for school. It was in the middle of the day and the kids come home. And Penina tells Chana, aren't you going to go and greet your children who are coming home from school? And it says, V'chiasato tzora gam kas. Penina upset her and angered her again and again. And every opportunity, Tanchuma Bar Abba says, they were sitting to eat, and Elkanah gave a portion to each of his children. Penina would try as much as she could to upset Chana. She would tell to Chana, to Elkanah, my children, you gave food. And Chana's children, you're not giving food? Come on, husband. What about Chana's children? Please give them food. And she's saying this in front of Chana just to upset her. Davar acher ba'avur har imo. The goal was, now first we're learning it was to get Chana upset. And now we're learning that the goal is not to get Chana upset with Penina, but to get Chana upset with Hashem. L'toivosa. He's doing it for her own good. Chana, if you would daven more sincerely to Hashem, you would have children. So Hashem says, At misra emes olai, you're getting upset at me. It says when there's lightning, there usually comes rain. Similarly, because you're upset, you're davening, I'm going to remember you. And Chana gave birth, pregnant, gave birth, three sons and two daughters. Okay, that is the end, Medrash Psikta, that we're doing. Now I'm going to go through the actual verses of the Haftorah, after with Rashi and Mitzudas, and afterwards, subject to time, we'll try to get some of the prophecies of Yonasan ben Uziel on it. Now, the actual Haftorah begins that there was a man from Ramasayim Tzayfim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Yerucham, son of Eliu, son of Teichu, son of Tzuf. Rashi says, in Ramasayim Tzayfim, there were two high mountains, and you could see from one to the other, and that's why they're called Ramasayim, high places, Tzayfim, which saw each other. Like you have in America, you have the twin cities, two cities next to each other. I know in a number of places you have twin cities. So therefore, over here also, there were two high mountains which saw each other. Now, why are they called Tzayfim? So first we say Tzayfim, the two mountains top see each other, or Mitalmidei Nevi'aya. They were students of the Nevi'im. Elkanah was a prophet and there was a whole yeshiva where people were learning to become prophets, and Elkanah was involved in prophecy. Rashi brings that Elkanah was a Levi. He was a descendant of Aviyosa, the son of Korach, and that's from Divrei Hayomim. Then we go on in Pasuk Beis. Elkanah has two wives. One is Chana, one is Penina. Penina has children, Chana has no children. And every year, Elkanah made an extra trip. We mentioned in the medrash that we mentioned last time, Tana de Eliyo, that Elkanah used to do three trips a year to go to Shilai or Yerushalayim. Everyone is obligated. And Elkanah would do an extra trip once a year to make korbanis for Hashem. And over there in Shilai would be the two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas. The day came and Elkanah makes korbanis. He gives his wife Penina. He gives all her sons and her daughter portions, and Chana gets a double portion because he loves Chana, but Hashem closes her womb. And her rival, Penina, tries to upset her. V'chiasato tsarosa gam kas. Her rival upset her and upset her again. Bavur harima. The goal was, what can I do to get her as upset as possible? Kisagar Hashem biyad rachma. Because Hashem had closed her womb, and therefore Chana wanted to upset her. Rashi says, gam kas, kas achar kas tomin. Penina would anger Chana regularly, all the time. Every opportunity, what can I do to upset Chana? And that's why it says, gam kas. She would say, did you buy a toy for your son? Did you buy a shirt, a garment for your little kid? For your big kid, did you buy something? And bavur harima, to upset her, shetisainen. She wanted, Penina's goal was, if Chana complains to Hashem, Rashi says, shetisainen. First Rashi says, that if she wants to upset Chana, should complain. And then Rashi brings from Rabbi Seinu, from the Gemara in Bava Basra, bavur harima, she was trying to upset her that she should daven. And Penina meant well. She meant to get Chana to daven. And here you see that even though Penina means well, it's very careful you have to be about hurting another person. Now, then we have in Pasuk Ches, Elkanah says to Chana, Chana, lama sifki, why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Why do you feel bad? I am better than 10 sons for you. From Rashi says, Mishab mechavimah. I love you more than the 10 sons that Penina bore for me. This doesn't seem to comfort Chana. In Pasuk Tes, Chana gets up after she ate and drank in Shili. And Eli HaKoyen is sitting on the throne of Hashem by the mezuzahs Heichal Hashem. Rashi brings, it doesn't say Yoshav, it says Yoishev. Eli is sitting. And Rashi brings us, Oisei HaYoim Yoshav Al Kisei Godom. That day, the day Chana showed up to Davin and Shiloh, that was the day that Eli sat on a big throne. A big chair. What is the big chair? Shenismano Shayfate. He was appointed as the Shayfate, the judge of the Jewish people. He's the political head of the whole Jewish nation. Which Eli was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol, a tzaddik. He was the he's a Kohen Gadol, a Navi, and he now became a Shayfate as well that day. And Eli is now sitting for the first time on this great throne of his. And v'hi maras nefesh, Chana is very bitter. V'tispalal al Hashem u'bochei tivke. She davened for Hashem and she cried. Chana is davening and crying. And Chana makes a promise. And she says, Hashem, imroi tira ba'oni amasech, if you will see the suffering of your maid, if you will remember me, not to forget your maid. And she asks, please give me Zera Anoshim. We'll soon see what it means, Zera Anoshim. If you give me Zera Anoshim, I will give the child to Hashem. And I will give him to Hashem all the years, and mightily Allah Raisha, which is an indication that maybe it means he'll be in Nazir as well. Or mightily Allah Raisha could either be that he'll, that Chana says, my son will be in Nazir. And there's an opinion that Shmuel will be in Nazir. Or to save him from Maida Basar Adam, from the fear of human beings. But anyway, back to Chana's prayer. Chana, according to Rashi, says Hashem Tzavakos. Why does Chana mention the name Hashem Tzavakos? So Rashi says, the Gemara the last week brought it as well. Chana says, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, there's two armies you created in your world, the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. The Elyonim, the higher bodies, don't have children, they don't die. And the Tachtonim, the lower creatures, are fruitful and multiply, but they die. If I'm from the Tachtonim, if I'm a creature down here, I should be able to be fruitful and multiply and have children like every other animal and human. Unless I'm an angel and I can't have children. If I'm an angel and I can't have children, then I shouldn't die either. And Rashi says this was all found in the Agada of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in Psikta Rava. Then Rashi brings Rabbi Seinu, our sages in Masechta Brachas said that there had never been a person that called Hashem Tzavakos until Chanosh. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, from all the armies you created in this world, is it hard for you to give me one child? And then Chana asks her that she wants Zera Anoshim. I don't want just plain children. I want my children should be tzaddikim. Then in Yud Beis we say that as Chana daven longer before Hashem, and Eli is shamed as Pia, he's watching her mouth. Eli is watching her mouth, noise, her lips are moving, her voice is not heard. Eli sees Chana, lips moving, voice not heard. Eli thinks she's drunk, because in those days people were not davening silently. And Eli makes a quick conclusion, Chana's drunk, we got to stop her from davening when she's drunk. And Eli says to her, Admasai tishtakorin. How long are you going to be drunk? Get rid of your wine. And Chana answers, no. I'm a very sincere woman. I never drank any wine, any other alcohol, and I'm pouring out my soul to Hashem. Al titein es hamoscho lifnei bas b'liyal. Don't look at your maidservant as a person without a yoke of heaven. I spoke as I spoke because I'm very upset. It's because I'm so upset that's why I spoke the way I spoke. Eli, the Kohen Gadol, the Shofet, the Navi, has no idea what Chana's davening for. But Eli tells her, L'chi l'sholim, go in peace. V'likei Yisrael yitin es shenlosev. Hashem will give your request, Asher sha'alt me'imai, that you request. And Rashi says, Yitin es shenlosev. Bisra, Eli tells her, lady, you should know, shenis kabla tfilos. Your tfilo, your prayers are accepted. Yep. We're up to now. Vatoymer, and Chana says, let your maidservant find favor in your eyes. Chana goes home. She doesn't feel down anymore. And here we see about Chana's emunah tzaddikim. As soon as Eli HaKoyin tells her that she's going to have children, she's certain that she's going to have children. I should mention on the previous piece, where we mentioned about Al Titein Es HaMoscho. The Gemara brings, and we mentioned this last week, that the word Amoscho, Chana calls herself three times, Amoscho, your maid. And Amoscho also has the word mace in it. And Chana says there are three sins for which women die. They were lax in family purity, or in lighting candles, or in... And we mentioned in the, or in the giving Truman Meister, maybe, I'm not sure, but she says, did I ever fall slack in any of these three sins, three mitzvahs that Hashem gave to women? There's family purity and lighting candles. Okay, we'll miss the others. Anyway, Eli says that Hashem will fulfill your request, and Chana goes and she's happy, and they get up in the morning and they bow to Hashem, and they come back home and home. Coming home. Yeah. Coming home, Chana gets pregnant. She has a son, Shmuel. And Rashi tells her, L'tkufas hayomim. The pregnancy with Shmuel was a very short pregnancy. It was 2 months and 2 days. And now, Elkanah comes again to bring the korbanis to Shiloh. But Chana now does not want to go up. She wants to stay for 2 years with her little boy until he finishes nursing. And then she will bring him to the Mishkan and remain there in the Mishkan indefinitely. Okay. I'm going to stop here. We're in Yirtz Hashem planning next week to continue the story of Chana till Rosh Hashanah. Any questions, comments?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah,
did you
sure.
say her pregnancy was 2 months and 2 days?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. I never
Look
heard
in Rashi
anything
on
like
Tkufis
that.
Hayom. Miyat Tkufis Shnayim. Tkufis is normally two. And Miyat Yomim Shnayim. Days is two. So it's two Tkufis, 2 3-month seasons and 2 days. Meshisha Chadashim Ushnei Yom. It's 6 months and 2 days. Mikan, from here we learn how you led us Meshiva when we mentioned that there are births at 7 months. It's not 7 full months, but it's Yeledes L'mikutoyim. She gives birth at chopped up 7 months. So we have over here Rashi, this Medrash, clear about a 6 month and 2 day, 7th month pregnancy, which could start from 6 months and 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments?
I have just a quick comment.
Yeah.
About you talking about Avraham Avinu and Sarah, that they made a lot of gerim and geros. And I just wanted to add on that I think it's from Zarathustra that they also made the neshamas of all the gerim when they were together. So all the gerim come from when they were like together. That's just like an extra bit that I heard that fits in well.
Okay,
what
very
you were
good.
Saying. Yeah.
Very good. Anybody else want to add or ask anything?
Yes, Rabbi Gordon.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I just wanted to ask you,
you know, when...
Fix your camera a bit. We'll see you better.
Sorry?
If your camera, you can have improve it. We'll maybe see you better.
Anyway,
continue.
And I just want to ask you, when Penina was tormenting Hannah, wouldn't Elkanah say something to Hannah not to torment her or say anything if he loved her so much?
And the Torah gives the story so quick, we don't really have all the details. It's very likely he did. He didn't. I can't answer. Very likely he did, and Penina didn't listen.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Also, is it true? Wasn't Shmuel's sons, some of them kind of went off the derech rather than...
It is true that Shmuel's sons went off the derech. They didn't really go off the derech. But Shmuel never took any money. And his sons had offices and they would charge money to their office. Shmuel funded everything from his own money. That was the extent of their going off the derech.
Okay.
However, later Shmuel's son Yoel does teshuva, which actually in Igeres HaTshuva, which is part of Tanya, the third section, when he discusses, he quotes a pasuk from Yoel, Umashakasav bi Yoel, Shuvu adai b'chol levavchem b'tzayim u'b'chi, says in Yoel, return with all your heart with fasting and crying. And he says that you don't need fasting, you don't need crying. But anyway, so the Rebbe brings in a sicha that why does the Tanya say he quotes it from Yoel? Because Yoel was about Shuvah. Yoel was the son of Shmuel HaNovi, and originally he was a bit off the derech. He was still frum. He was always frum, always keeping mitzvahs. But he was originally less enthused, more into money, and then later he becomes the highest level of Baal Shuvah. So that's just the answer about Shmuel's sons.
Okay, so you're...
There's a God in Shabbos, Kol Ha'imer B'nei Shmuel Chotu, Eino Yelotoyah. If anybody says... It's around Shabbos Nun Hay or so. If anybody says Shmuel's son sinned, is only making a mistake.
Okay, so Yoel the prophet was Shmuel's son.
Yes.
Okay.
He's called Yoel ben Pisuel.
Yeah.
If I'm just going to get a Treyosar and try to answer you where it says that Yoel is definitely Shmuel's son. He is known as, he's the second of the Treyosar.
Right.
And begins right at the beginning of the Sefer Yoel, the second of the Treyosar, it starts. Let me just find it. It starts, Dvar Hashem Asher Hoya El Yoel Ben Pesuel, the first Rashi, Ben Pesuel Ben Shmuel Hanovi. He was a son of Shmuel Hanovi. Why is he called Pesuel? Shepito Lokel Bitfin Losli. He convinced Hashem through his davening. Mitzvah David says the same thing. Amru Rabbi Seinu, Zeu Shmuel Hanovi, Shepito Lokel Bitfin Losli. So both Rashi and Mitzvah David and other commentaries as well all mention that Yoel is the son of Shmuel Anobi.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. I love questions. Anybody else have anything to add or ask?
Thank you.
I have a question about something that's not related to what you said, but early in the piece, Amalek was
compared to a thorn.
Punished. It seems that his children were punished. Why did God take so long to?
You have a very good question, and I can't answer it.
Normally, the parents.
We say Leum Sarabis Habonim. They don't kill children for the sins of parents.
Yeah.
You have a very good question. I'm not going to try to answer. I'm going to quote my favorite Gemara that all my students know. Brachis Daf Dalet. L'mad l'sheincha l'mar eini yodea. Teach your tongue to say, I don't know. By the way, I will mention, it says when Shaul is told to kill Amalek, it says over there, Vayorev banachal. And he fought in the Nachal. And Rashi connects it. I'm just going to get a Sefer Shmuel. Rashi connects it to the story of, 1 second. Rashi connects it to Eglon Rufa. I don't see Shmuel this moment. Yeah. Okay. It says by Yorav Banachal that the Eglon Rufa, Shaul had great difficulty with this mitzvah of killing Amalek. He says, Hashem generally puts great value to life. Even if one person, a dead body is put between two, found between two cities, and you have to bring a whole Eglon Rufa. And here, you're talking about a whole nation. How could you have such a... Here, I'm going to read you a Rashi. By Yorev Banachal. It's Shmuel Aleph Perek Tesvav Pasakhei. Al Iskei Nachal, Rav V'donim Atzmai. He had an inner battle with himself, Shaul. Ma Bishvil Nefesh Achas. If over one soul. Amra Torah. The Torah says, Aroif Egla Banachal. Make an Egla Rufa. Bishvil kol hanefashes ha'elu, for all these souls, l'kol shekein, how much more so, im adam chata, even if the person sin, behema machata, what the animals do wrong, why is there a mitzvah to kill the animals as well? So Shaul HaMelech had a similar question to you, but that doesn't answer the question. So unfortunately, I'm not even going to try to answer your question. But if that's what Hashem wants, then we have to do what Hashem wants.
Obviously,
there must be a reason for it, and obviously they're not innocent, but I can't answer.
Well, Elchanan also gets punished because they're his children.
You're right, Elkanah also gets punished, and this is obviously Hashem's calculations. They are definitely Elkanah's children, and Elkanah's a tzaddik of the highest caliber. And you're right, they're his children. But in a long run, it turns out that from Elkanah and Hannah comes out a most amazing of families, as you have the Navi Yoel, and then Haman HaMashoyder, and his 14 children, who all have Ruach HaKodesh, and were the heads of all the Levim. So yes, I don't understand the ways of Hashem are very hard to understand. And you're right, Elkanah loses 8 children.